So our friend John, that likes to come to church with Daniel, is currently in his home country of Thailand. We chatted with him for a... Thank you. Let it fall apart first, okay? Anyway, yeah, John is in Thailand, and Blossom was in contact with him last night. That was fun. He'll be there for about a month, he said. I am not yet ready to get back into the book of Romans. Preparation time is months along, and that way I'm ready, but there's some other stuff on my mind, on my heart, that I want to share with you today. In part, it's going to be testimony. When I shared a couple of weeks ago just a little bit of what took place at the Oregon Country Fair, there's a little bit more that happened in me that I want to pass on to you today, and that's kind of my goal for today. We are about to enter in Romans into a brand new section. It really, there's a transition between chapter 8 and then 9 through 11. Those three form one purpose that Paul had. The preceding chapters we've been in for some time, and I have benefited from it. I hope you have too, at least to some degree anyway, you know, to read what God has done for you, child of God. But I do want to start right in the middle of the next three chapters, chapter 10 of Romans. Chapter 10 and verse 8. What shall we say? Well, what does it say? What does the scripture say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what the other religions could not offer. There is no basis for forgiveness of sin and imparting life where there was death formerly. But in Jesus there is. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. There's two aspects of confession that I see in these verses. The first aspect is the obvious confession for the purpose of your own salvation. Which is that's what took place in me at 19 years old. Jesus Christ is Lord. Dan is not. In fact, Dan was damned with the rest of the human race and offered hope of salvation through Jesus. And I took him up on it at 19 years old. The other part of confession that I'd like to look at here and use this morning is in... Please look at verse 14. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? The other part of confession is that one proclaiming to others for the sake of their salvation. First of all is for me. And second, let me tell you also. That's the other aspect. Verse 15, how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who come all the way to me because they care with this word of salvation. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Announcing the gospel of the Lord Jesus, peace with the living God. About a month ago now, I was challenged by my friend Jessiah. Jessiah, lover of God, Tatiana, his wonderful bride, Russian lady, who are in charge of the orange juice booth at the Oregon Country Fair. Again, the setting, the fair runs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's not a pleasant place in many ways, not a healthy place in many ways. It's a 55-year-old hippie gathering with all of the trimmings. There's some good and some fun and certainly some beauty and art and music. And then there's a whole dark covering over the whole thing. Why are you shaking your head so violently? She was there last year and she told me, I'm not going that place again.
I did again.
You did? I didn't see you.
I
wish, I so wish I would have found you. About a month ago, my friend Josiah contacted me and asked if I would pray about being one of the pastors on site. And I've shared that with you. I've done that for pushing 30 years now. We weren't going to go there this year. And I told him so. I don't see myself at the fair this year. He called back and said, would you pray about coming to be one of the on-site pastors this year? And I said, I'm not seeing myself at the fair this year, but I'll pray for the church at the fair because there is a church at the fair in these certain areas. There are believers in Jesus that have found each other over the years, and they draw strength from one another and worship together. It's a great time. And the Lord just changed my heart as I was writing that email. I sent it anyway. And then the next morning, I said, it's a new day, Josiah, with new perspective. And I ended up going to the fair. But in that prayer process, I did pray and ask the Lord, is this for me to go this year? Because I'll tell you what, there wasn't anything inside of me that desired to go. I'm growing very, very weary of what goes on there. Yet God has still reached people there. But it is not for everybody, I'm telling you. The Lord put my face in the book of Proverbs. And I want to start with this thought in mind, this other aspect of confession, telling somebody else about Jesus so that they too might know him. Proverbs chapter 29 came to my attention. I've shared this, I know, with some of you, but I want to be a little fuller about it today. Verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare, or is a snare. Being afraid of what somebody might do to me, what somebody might think about me, what somebody might say about me, or whatever else. The fear of man brings a snare. A snare holds you back and keeps you there. It keeps you anchored where you ought not to be anchored. But those that trust in the Lord will be exalted. Now, this can cause us to go headlong into stupidity. Okay? There are some other warnings in Scripture so that we don't do that. Back up a couple of Proverbs. Chapter 26, verse 17, for instance. Like one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife that doesn't belong to him. Just jumping right into and going to solve the problem is one, like grabbing that dog by the ears. You know what's going to happen there? Is he who passes by and actually infuriates himself in somebody else's affairs. That's stupid. That's just plain old dumb. Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount, I taught this a few Wednesdays ago, said, do not throw what is precious to the dogs. And he's talking about people. He's not calling them dogs. He's saying, there's a picture, and they will not treat it well. Nor your pearls before swine, lest the pigs do what? Trample the pearls and turn on you. Okay? So this Proverbs 29:25 isn't promoting stupidity. There's times where the wisdom of God says, don't go. Don't speak. The wisdom of silence. What God is wanting to do, pay attention. It's not for you to always jump into the most recent hot topic. That may be for somebody else. Let it be their thing. But if God is telling you, jump in, the fear of man brings a snare. It's going to keep you back from where God wants you to go and speaking what God wants you to speak. Confessing my own weakness to you, well, one of them, there have been times that I know I have missed opportunities because of the fear of man. And some of those I regret to this day. And I've got to rest in the grace and mercy of God, who can take care of it even in my delinquency of responding. You know what I'm saying? I trust God. But I did not have the privilege of participating with God to see what God would do, because this fear of man. Proverbs 29:25 speaks it well. Abraham, fearful of man, came up with a new plan. Well, Sarah, dear wife, lie to them. Tell them you're my sister, not my wife. That's to protect my skin. And that happened twice. His son Isaac, quick learner, he did the same thing. It's like the fear of man brings a snare. What would God have done had we followed God's way? I remember as a testimony being pushed way out of my comfort zone when I was living in Vienna, Austria in 1985. 9 months of ministry into the communist countries. Great time. You've heard some of those stories. Out of my comfort zone, Mishko Horvatak, Yugoslav pastor, ministering to Yugoslav refugees in Vienna. They like to go to the Prater. The Prater, a big amusement park. This big amusement park had a huge monolithic Ferris wheel where it's not 2 per seat, it's like 40 per car. Oh, and you go up and you look and see all of Vienna. One time. Because each car has to stop and let off everybody. Okay, so anyway, on Sunday afternoons, a group of us from the home office of this ministry team I was with would go to the Prater. And that guitar I'm playing right there was with me. I played my guitar and we sang Jesus songs. And then one or more of us would share our testimony translated by Mishko. He's a character. Or we would preach translated by Mishko. He had somebody do this once who said something that was really off, and Mishko looked at him and let him continue on while Mishko took over and preached his own sermon. Say what you want, bub. It's wrong. He's a character. He's a great guy. I got to share my testimony. I got to preach in that open setting. I'm telling you, that is not my comfort zone. But God ministered. And there are Yugoslav refugees that came to know Jesus. The fear of man brings a snare. I am so glad that I got past that and said, okay, grace of God, kick in. Anytime would be great, you know, and do that. Well, at the Oregon Country Fair this time, it was very similar. Only I went with this proverb as my backbone. Can I put it that way? I went with this proverb and I shared it early on with the gathered church, because each of them goes to their own setting at their own booth. Each of them has their own ministry. Well, some of them it's just being. Others it's dialoguing about Christianity, about Jesus. This gave me a sense of courage. Like I said, I've done this before. I've preached there before. Right? And you got an open setting. You got 20 plus people on these blankets, 8 foot cross behind us, out in the middle hub of where everything takes place. You got people coming and going before the fair opens. By the way, before the fair opens to let general public in, there are upwards of 25,000 people on site. Then they let in another 15,000 Friday, 18 on Saturday, 15 on Sunday. 40 to 50,000 people on site Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's a huge concern. And this, within me, the grace of God I know is kicking in to be able to proclaim the name of Jesus. Some people, when they heard that name, turn and walk away. Others, out of curiosity, come and listen and hang with us. And one of those I got to pray with for salvation on Sunday night. If his heart meant it before God, God knows. Right? Man named Mickey. Something else happened. While I'm proclaiming this, starting at this very verse, and then we went to the Gospel of John, Others in the group were getting a little wind in their sails. There was some courage going on. One of the young men, one of the men, yeah, young, certainly, he's in, I'd say, late 40s, told us that God had been moving on his heart. Oh, yeah? What you got going? God wants me to do a foot washing here. Amen. See? Wow. Okay. You sure about this? I'm sure about it. One of the other men there, a little older than me, so he's not so young, Ron, wanted to join him. And the two of them set up a foot washing station at the exits, while others of us at those exits were Elizabeth and I coupled together. And we had a sign, may we pray for you. And people would come, hundreds of people per minute leaving. Every now and then there's somebody that turns in, and some of those with tears flowing, we haven't seen these people before. Pray for me about this. Well, the foot washing station. We asked this brother, why do you want to do this? He said, because it'll humble me. And God wants me to. Man, I'm not getting in God's way. Right? The fear of man brings a snare. They came back giving stories. People that turned and said, are you for real? Dusty outdoors, everything, filthy feet. Wow, that sounds good after a hot day out here. And they did then ask them, why? Ha ha! Door open, opportunity to speak. Jesus initiated this. And we'd like to just bless you.
There you go.
It worked. It worked well. That is why I said a couple of weeks ago in review, this year the church at the fair wasn't on the defense. It was on the offense. It was very, very different. The fear of man brings a snare. Those that trust in the Lord will be exalted. I want to look at a passage of Scripture. Actually, I had missed one. Look in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, just a couple of verses, an example of those that allowed the fear of man to trump the occasion. John 12:42-43. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, in Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Being put out of the synagogue for them was a huge deal. It was their culture. If they are to be put out of the synagogue, they would be outcast. They would be blackballed from their society. It was a big deal. But because of fear of the Pharisees doing that, though they believed, they did not confess Jesus Christ. Verse 43, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Wow. So we're going to conform to what men demand instead of doing what is right before the living God. Back up to Luke chapter 12 with me, please. Luke chapter 12, under these circumstances, at verse 1, after so many thousands of the multitude had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. As I read through the rest of this, watch for the opportunities of confession, either for salvation or for somebody else's salvation. Just watch how this all unfolds. But there is, Jesus said, nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. Man, that should be constraining. Really? Oh, boy. I might talk just a little less. and what you have whispered in the inner room shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one, and this is the living God. Fear the one who after he is killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents, and yet not one of them is forgotten before God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are of more value than many sparrows. Okay, let's start building a little comfort here. The fear of man brings a snare. Those who trust the Lord will be exalted. The fear of man, what is that about? Pleasing man. Fearing what they might give in retribution. Fearing what they might say, might think, da-da-da. Do not fear them. You are of more value than all the sparrows. And he cares about the sparrows. He's got you. He's got you. Verse 8, and I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man shall confess him also before the angels of God. He's mine. She's mine. But he who denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who will speak a word against the Son of Man, and this I believe is because they don't have the full picture, it shall be forgiven him. Thank you, Lord, for that, because you know what happened through my mouth before I was 19 years old? Some pretty blasphemous stuff came out of it in my ignorance. Like Paul's testimony in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Formerly a blasphemer, a violent aggressor. I wasn't a violent aggressor. I was just a fool. And a lot of it was because of the fear of man even then. And I didn't want to submit to God, because I was an independent fool. Really. So he goes on. He who denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Everyone who will speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, that's the source. That's the source of all that is spoken about the Son of Man. He will not be forgiven. Ooh. And when they bring you before the synagogues, okay, here comes. Are you ready for it? Here's opportunity. Opportunity to confess for the sake of others. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not become anxious or fearful about how or what you should speak in your defense or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. There's a promise here. My Father is going to come to bat for me. What am I asked to do? Speak what I know about Jesus. It's pretty basic. Is he my Savior? What am I afraid of saying right here? Now, please understand, there are times and circumstances. Jesus addressed this. Don't cast your jewels before the dogs. Don't throw your pearls before swine. But I'll tell you what, this may be a young Dan Robinson that you're in front of that needs to hear about Jesus. Thank you, Michael Rooney. This might be a young Michael Rooney that needs to hear about Jesus. And God has given privilege to you and to me to speak that word about him forgiving me of my sins. Not that I am better. That's not the position. I'm forgiven. Here is somebody that you might not ever see again in this lifetime. And it's a God-appointed opportunity. He's brought you together for the moment. The fear of man will be the snare that holds you back. Let me pause for a minute, ask for a little interaction, and then I'll close with a couple of thoughts. What's your thought thus far? Sabina, go ahead.
I made a few years ago, and I've been studying this a long time. The thing I learned, the most simple thing is to believe in Jesus. He'll lead you right down the right path.
Yep.
Just lose heart and just keep going. If you get hard trials, give them to Him.
Keep moving forward.
Is there any pushback from the management of the fair because church is becoming more of an issue?
Not this year. There has been in the past. There has been an all-out move against us.
But not this year.
And God has protected. This year, one of the ladies that joined us at the blanket of the church gathering, I think on Sunday morning, said, oh, by the way, I'm part of the fair staff. And she was worshiping Jesus with us.
Good.
We said, well, what do you do? She said, well, I'm in charge of, what's the word? Dealing with problems between people. What is it?
Conflict
resolution. Thank you. Ah, bing, it came back. You're in charge of conflict. Oh, I don't want your job, sister. There is no way at this place. I don't like it in general, but that would be horrendous. She is also in charge of the Oregon Country Fair Facebook. Are you kidding? She's here with us worshiping Jesus. Yeah. She didn't know about us. Now she does. That's way cool. Way cool. Elizabeth was out there waving her Jesus flag. Yeah, sister. And a young lady saw it and came over where we were. And we had a little sign, little sandwich board sign that said Chapel at the Fair. And saw the 8-foot cross. And she then was there with us, needed to be there with us. And we found out she was one of the main entertainers on Saturday afternoon at Main Stage. They flew her in to entertain. She said, I need this. Yeah! You know, God stuff. Does that mean I'm anxious about going back next year? No. only if it is God's signature on it. Because there's people there that need Jesus. Now, let me say this. He brings people into your life that I will never see. That's where I'm going to. Steve, go ahead.
Just a reminder of a blessing this week. You know, as part of the process of getting ready to move, it was a matter of sorting through all the papers I've been hoarding.
You want some more?
I spent a couple of days sorting through old files, and one of the files I came across reminded me of a time that God gave me some opportunities to share. I was pastoring a little church out in eastern Oregon, and we had a local newspaper that published one day a week, about an 8-page paper that came out once a week. And the first year I was there, I'm 24 years old, and they asked me if I would write an article for the paper for Thanksgiving. And I prayed about that, and I wrote what God gave to me and handed it to him. And I figured, you know, come Thanksgiving that week, it might show up on page 7. The paper came out that week, and my article was front page, double-sized font.
Wow.
And it was like, wow, what an opportunity. You know, mm-hmm. I had a church of, at that point, 60 people that I shared with each week, you know, and I was able to, you know, put out a message to a congregation of 5,000 through the paper. And then after that, I was able to write for Easter. I was able to write for Christmas.
Amen.
I remember my last article I wrote for a Christmas article. I actually just printed virtually the text of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. The title of the article was, Do You Hear What I Hear?
Nice.
And able to share, you know, from that song that virtually everybody would have been familiar with, but how clearly the gospel was made known through that. So I just look back, and it was just kind of a reminder of, you know, the larger opportunity. I'll never have a clue who was touched by those articles, you know, whether any lives were changed because of them. But I always look back as a, you know, the young man, the opportunity to share in that way was pretty amazing.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, as we're involved, we're not the fruit producer. He's the fruit producer.
Right.
Go ahead. Amy, did you have something? Go ahead.
I got the opportunity to go to the country fair and felt the same way about it that you did. And like great reluctancy. I was like, oh man, okay. Well, my friend needs me, okay. And I got to change everybody I talked to. That's what I did. Do you know God? Do you know Jesus? And it was great. I had an awesome experience. But one of them was this woman who was a sex worker, really, was her job. And she didn't really want to tell me this. And I said, oh, let's talk about it. And, you know, and that Jesus still loves you despite that.
Hmm.
And she was in tears. It was so awesome.
Amen.
And we hugged, and it was wonderful. So I hope that she knows that going forward.
Amen. That's God's business there. Amen. Cliff, go ahead.
So I've been, actually this morning I came prepared for, and we didn't do too much in class. I was going to read some of my notes from my trip to China that happened 11 years ago, be about right now.
Wow.
When I was over there, 12 years ago or so. But there's the big extraordinary things that we do sometimes that God takes us somewhere to confess and to witness. And but to never underrate your boring everyday life. Never underrate. That's where people see the witness. They don't just hear it.
And
it is in every part of our life. And it's in living an act of worship. And it takes both. Sometimes that one for me, my trip back then was like extraordinary, out of the box for me, kind of a thing. And I look at that and I think, but there's how much other has come around too. We are to confess, and that's really sometimes it's harder to confess to a coworker than to go somewhere where you don't know somebody.
True.
It is so much harder to say, I don't want to hear that joke. I don't want to look at that picture. Or those things, taking a stand when everything's moving a certain direction. That's a confession. That's words of life. Because out of that, then when the people have the questions, they come. And so it takes both. It really does take both. But in my experience, at home, or at work, whatever those things, so often that's the time where it's really hard to take that stand that needs to be taken.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Beth?
Yeah, and when you talk about this, I remember Terry Pruitt's testimony. He grew up in a nominally Christian home, and then he became a hippie and went to Europe and lived a lifestyle. And then when he came back to the U.S., he knew that the Lord was, you know, trying to get his attention. And he was hitchhiking somewhere. He's out in the country. And a farmer picked him up, old farmer. And he said, this fellow's driving along, and he says something about, young man, do you know the Lord is your personal Savior? And Terry said, that's the last thing I wanted to hear. And so I almost immediately said, well, this is where I need to get out. And he said, you know, as he thought back, that he was sure that farmer was saying to himself, oh, you know, I just can't share the Lord effectively. I just mess it up every time. And he said, but that question just kept rolling around and around and around in his mind and wouldn't let him go. So you never know what the Lord is going to do with something that even seems like a failure to you.
Yeah. Okay, Dave? Yes, amen on that one.
Dan, I'm convinced that Paul's teaching about spiritual gifts includes that of evangelism. And it seems as though some people are uniquely blessed in their presentation of the gospel and have experienced extraordinary development of that. But evangelism is the responsibility of all of us. And I consider myself not to be an evangelist in a gifted sense. My mind goes back to the experience of Warren Goins. Some of you here knew Warren, many of you, he's just a name. But he was an old curmudgeon who loved to bait Christians and then debate Christians. When we were just getting to know him a little bit, not knowing his background or hardly anything about him, he threw a question at me. The question was, what did I think of a certain kind of music? Country Christian country music. I never faced the question. What I told him, in my mind, was a neutral answer. Warren, I don't particularly care for it. Some people do. A second question. What do you think of this evolution creation debate? Okay? Now, I have my convictions regarding that. And I have never said to anybody before or since what I said to him. Warren, I don't care. God can do it any way he wants to. And then, this last verse, that became, I think, a catalyst for a growing relationship with Warren that ultimately led to either you or someone else actually stepping through the salvation message with him. The answer that I gave him was the perfect answer that he needed to that question. And the verse here in Luke 12:12, the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. I would never have planned to tell him, I don't care. But it was what he needed, and it opened his mind, I think, to him listening to others,
yes,
the presentation of the gospel.
Yes. And God used people as stepping stones, all of them, to lead Warren. The last little thought that I have here, just to kind of bring things together, is one of the greatest fears that Christians have, I believe, is the fear that I might not know what to say. They might ask questions that I don't have the answer to. Therefore, we hold back fully. And on the one hand, yes, the Holy Spirit can lead us. In this friendly group of people, I can hear that and say, yay, God. But out there, face to face with somebody, all of a sudden, it feels different. Here's what, if I can give advice that was given to me and to others, didn't originate with me. If you know Jesus as your Savior, tell them. Simply tell them. Tell them what you know, and don't tell them what you're ignorant of, pretending to be smart. That'll get you in trouble. My ship has been sunk a number of times. Just tell them what you know. Let God do the rest. Tell them, because it might be one of those stepping stones along somebody's way. And here's the way cool thing. God has got us here to share what we know about him. We read it this morning out of John 17. Dave was teaching on this. That they might know that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He got me. Let me tell you, I know Jesus. Well, what's that mean? Well, then tell them whatever God did in you. Tell them what you know. If they have other questions, say, you know what? I don't have the answer to that question, Let's work on it together. Let me see if I can find an answer for you. That should not be a fear. Just speak the simple word and let God open that door and push things on through the way He sees fit. And it's a privilege to be able to voice so somebody else can look up and see the true God. I'm going to sing a song here. Michael?
Well, I just know that if he refers to the same subject twice in the same chapter, you know you're on the truth. And not only is it in chapter 12, but it's also in 22. Yep. Stop worrying about anything. He's got it.
This song comes back to what we know is true. It's been applied to us. And there may be people in the room that don't yet have it applied to them. You haven't gone through that step of saying, Jesus, forgive my sins. Forgive my sins. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Whatever words, they're not magical words. It's a heart that's just bowed before Him. Yes, we bow before You, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. As the scripture says, the one who spread out the stars. We're still trying to figure that out in our science and math. And You did it. You are the God that made these incredibly intricate, fearfully and wonderfully made bodies. And down to that blade of grass, You are Creator. You are God. Father, we thank You so much that You intervened because of our sin. You came and became a man to die for us. As we've just sung again, thank You for that cross where I met Jesus. That cross where You meet human beings. Father, I pray that as this little pocket of people, just a little bitty eyedropper, Father, as we go out, this message can have a huge impact, much, much wider than we can even imagine. So, Father, give us an alertness to those God appointments with people. Just a simple mention of the name of Jesus. Yet, Father, at the same time, I wouldn't want to overlook anybody that might be here among us. And so I ask You, Holy Spirit of God, to make this become just completely evident that this is so in their mind and in their heart, that they would bow before You and receive forgiveness and life. Life. As we move out from here, we pray, God, that You would lead us, You would be glorified. Help us to make choices that line up with the message that we have. Thank You for Your mercy and Your forgiveness for the times we haven't. Help us to be on it as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes, Elizabeth.